flying away from pension obligations.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigla, and Delta Airlines made it official. It wants to end its pilots' pension plan by September 2nd. The bankrupt carrier sent its request to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. If a bankruptcy court approves the move, the PBGC will take over the pension plan and pay out some version of its benefits. And Delta will be on the way to saving more than $1 billion. In Washington today, the Senate Budget Committee will consider changes to the budget process. It's an effort to rein in deficit spending. John Dimsdale reports that while everybody agrees Congress needs to stem the flow of red ink, there's plenty of haggling over how to do it.
Senate Budget Committee Chairman Judd Gregg is backing a plan he calls Stop Overspending, or SOS. It would set strict deficit limits. Going above the ceiling would trigger across-the-board spending cuts, including, for the first time, cuts in mandatory entitlement programs such as Medicare, Medicaid, and veterans benefits. That raises opposition from Democrats who think the president's tax cut should also be on the table. There may be more agreement on another aspect of Gregg's bill, giving the president a line-item veto. However, Senator Gregg doesn't think that alone would go far enough.
I'm not sure it would pass, and I'm not sure it would do much, because the real issue of where the money is on the mandatory side, not on the discretionary side.
Later this week, the House of Representatives takes up its own proposal to give the president a sharper knife with which to trim budget fat. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Trade officials from the European Union and the U.S. are expected to sign a deal today that cracks down on counterfeit goods. That includes everything from Louis Vuitton bags and Rolex watches to pirated music and counterfeited medicines. The agreement focuses on China and Russia, but as Eric Kneeler tells us, critics complain it lacks any real punch.
U.S. and European leaders say they will train customs officials and send anti-piracy teams to countries where the counterfeiting occurs. Nations that allow counterfeiting could lose out on foreign investment and trade. But Washington University's Andrew Murtha says the agreement includes no new penalties.
In terms of the actual enforcement of the intellectual property rights problem in these countries, I don't see the effect being particularly substantial.
Murtha says the agreement does not add any new customs agents and is not part of a broader trade policy. That kind of pressure will likely come from a case the U.S. is bringing against China at the World Trade Organization. President Bush leaves for Vienna this morning, where he'll review the counterfeiting pact at an EU summit tomorrow. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
And here's some news to make a cattle rancher dance. Japan is set to agree today to start importing U.S. beef again. Imports have been banned for 5 months because of fears of mad cow disease. Japan was the top importer of U.S. beef before the ban. In 2003, it bought over a third of U.S. exports, about $1.4 billion worth. Tomorrow is the first official day of summer, but stock markets around the world are stuck in a wintry storm. The Dow lost another 72 points yesterday, almost 0.7%, to close at 10,942. The Nasdaq dropped 19 points, and the S&P shed 11 points to end the day at 1240. We'll have more in a moment about what's behind this recent market roller coaster. This is Marketplace. You may have teethed on your brother's Tonka truck, but your child could chew on an official Tonka teether. Hasbro says it plans to start selling baby care products. More from Rachel Dornhelm.
Traditional toy sales fell slightly in 2005. The same went for baby care products like pacifiers. Still, toy giant Hasbro is hoping that combining the two stalled sectors could jumpstart sales. Hasbro owns brands like Play School, Mr. Potato Head, My Little Pony, and Tonka. Retail analyst Timothy Dowd says these names will likely grace their new baby products.
If you have any of those brand names, then that could be a very powerful draw for the children, and there's also nostalgia value for the parents.
If you're looking to buy any of Hasbro's diapers and teething rings, you'll have to go to CVS. The drugstore has an exclusive deal for the line. Dowd says this jives with CVS's new strategy to beef up its private brand offerings. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By SHRM's new book, The New American Workplace, presenting a look at the hot-button issues that define work in the U.S. More at shrm.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Vigeland. As we mentioned, world financial markets have been on Mr. Toad's wild ride recently. Some analysts blame inflation fears. Others argue that fears of recession because of high interest rates are behind the turmoil. But one group of fund managers and commentators is fingering a more surprising culprit. They accuse Alan Greenspan. Yes, that Alan Greenspan, the former Fed chairman. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Alan Greenspan retired early this year, garlanded with honors and accolades. One economist called him the greatest central banker who ever lived, but one London fund manager begs to differ. Tony Dye says Greenspan was a disaster. Dye traces the cause of the current market turmoil back to Greenspan's watch at the Fed.
The reasons for it were the mistake about, you know, basically puffing the bubble up and not taking the punch bowl away, because that's what I think central bankers should be doing in the mid to late 90s.
Dye argues that Greenspan inflated the stock market bubble of the 1990s by holding interest rates too low. He failed to take the punch bowl away when the party got started. And then when the stock market crashed in 2000, he had to slash rates to rock bottom levels and keep them there for more than a year.
You know, cutting rates to 1% was basically to try and paper over the cracks of all the problems that would have arisen from the stock market bubble bursting. And it's just created more problems.
The ultra-cheap credit, say Greenspan's critics, inflated another bubble in U.S. house prices and fueled an American consumer boom that sucked in yet more imports and massively inflated the U.S. trade deficit. And by making it cheaper to speculate, he also set off a tidal wave of hot money sloshing around the globe. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank.
There have been grotesque, positively grotesque imbalances in the global economy, and perhaps the US ought to have bitten the bullet earlier.
Greenspan could have exercised more restraint, says Gideon Rackman of The Economist magazine. He could have pushed up interest rates a bit higher, a bit earlier, but hailed as the maestro at home, popularity may have gone to his head.
Rather than taking tough and unpopular measures, Mr. Greenspan preferred to keep putting more alcohol into the punch, to keep the party going and to keep his popularity going.
Greenspan's supporters say he was a great central banker because he kept the US economy humming and unemployment low. But, says author Peter Harcher, in the process Greenspan sidestepped a major challenge.
His challenge was, what do you do when the economy is in the grip of a mania, a bubble? He didn't deal with it. The historical legacy will record that as his failing.
That legacy, say the critics, is now playing out. As interest rates return to more normal levels, they are puncturing the share prices pumped up by the Greenspan era of easy credit. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And I'm Tess Vigeland. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
World Cup fans will spend more than $11 billion.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.